you. Yes, sir.
Next application is case number 11552, the application of Tucker Farm LLC for a site south of Route 227 Hummingbird Road, approximately 620 feet west of Route 229B Carpenter Road, with a 911 address of 20780 Hummingbird Road, Ellendale, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 230, map 28, parcel number 8, requesting a special use exception to place a telecommunications tower. This application is for on a Tucker Farm LLC property, but it is proposed to be used by Selco Partnership or Verizon Wireless. And it is a request for a special use exception to construct a 125-foot tall telecommunications monopole, and including a 5-foot lightning rod at the top. And we have, one letter of support. That letter was received from Carol Summers. States, I would like to take this opportunity to say we strongly support the telecommunication tower. We do not have cell phone service in our location and are looking forward to this service. Thanking you for your consideration. We have one letter of support, no letters of opposition, and no mail returns on this application. That's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
Yep. No. Thank you, Mr. Knight.
Good evening,
Mr. Chairman. I have two witnesses that Mr. Sharp should probably swear in, Mr. Farrell and Mr. Grevis.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Kenneth Farrell, 2215 Kimberton Road, Kimberton, Pennsylvania, 19442.
Wait right there. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Brian Grevis, P.O. Box 165, Fairview Village, Pennsylvania.
You both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. John Tracy from Young, Conaway, Stargett, and Taylor here on behalf of the applicant, Selco Partnership. Ken Farrell over there is our civil for this project, and Brian Grevis is playing the role of Andy Peterson today as the RF engineer, in case there's any questions that you all have. This is, as Mr. Lang said, an application for a new cell phone tower. This one's a little shorter than what you're typically used to seeing. This is 120 feet with the radio, with the lightning rod on top. As you can see from the aerial exhibit that I put up there and handed out to you, we've done what Verizon typically tries to do, which is to find a large property where you can take advantage of the existing features to shelter the tower. And as you can see, we're no closer than really 1,100 feet from the nearest structure. And as you can see from this exhibit as well, with the exception of approaching Hummingbird from the west, going towards the east, there's really no clean view of it because of the way the trees are on the property. To cover ground that Mr. Sharp had grilled me on the last time, as you'll note from the plan, we're not seeking any variances. All fencing is in compliance with the code requirements. It'll be lighted in accordance with the code, and it is being constructed such that it can co-locate additional antenna if need be. This application is, as you can see from the exhibit behind me, a coverage site. There is a large gap in coverage in this area as opposed to capacity. This tower is being constructed so as to fill that void in coverage to get rid of the dreaded "can you hear me now" effect that Verizon made famous a few years ago. Switching the exhibit, as you can see, the proposed construction fits nicely into the donut hole that exists, providing coverage to the surrounding roads as well as to the surrounding neighborhoods. All of this, of course, is covered in the reports that we submitted as part of the application. In addition to the submittal with our application, we're demonstrating that we fall 190 times below the minimum accepted threshold level for the emissions. As you know, we have to meet those standards. If we prove that we meet those standards, then those issues are off the table, health concerns. As I indicated, we're 190 times below, and that is, as you heard Mr. Peterson testify before, in a worst case scenario where we've turned everything on, we've fully loaded it, and you're exposed to it at a full amount. We have no issues with FAA. We don't have to light this as required per FAA, but of course we're lighting it in accordance with the code. That's an overview of the site. I am happy to have either of my witnesses come and offer testimony if you'd like to probe any of those issues. But again, these are all summarized in the reports that we've submitted as far as our applications. There's nothing really different with this application than what you've heard previously, other than the fact it's a little shorter than the last one that this board recently considered. But both Mr. Farrell and Mr. Gravis are happy to answer questions if the board has any for them.
Does the board have any questions for either one of those at this time? Mr. Workman?
The lighting.
Yes.
Are you putting lights on it?
Yes. In accordance with the code, one every 50 feet is the code required. So it would be two in this instance because it's 120 feet tall.
Good. Okay. No other questions.
Mr. Riggers?
So you meet all the requirements that we need in the county?
Correct.
Okay. And I checked that on your... I have one question. The structure is within 2 miles.
Yes.
I see you made a statement here that unfortunately at 1.7 tenths of a mile, the existing SBA lattice structure is too distant to satisfy the Verizon coverage objectives. What do you mean by that?
Correct. What we try to do, and I can have Mr. Grievous come up to expand upon it, if you will, because it's really a radio frequency. We identify an area where there's a gap in coverage, and a search ring is generated. Usually it's about a mile around in order to try to find appropriate properties. Sometimes you're able to find a property in there, sometimes you're not. In this case, we were able to. 1.7, there's actually two issues. If I can point to the exhibit, it's the other structure is over in this area here.
I can't see that.
It's over towards, there? If you look on the exhibit, it's over towards the one that says Allendale.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I have.
The issue there is, one, it's not going to provide coverage into the area that needs it, and two, you're going to have redundant coverage in the area where Allendale is, because that area is already fully covered.
Okay.
So you would have inefficient coverage, and you can have, and Mr. Grievous again can add to this if you would like, but you end up, we've testified to it before, with conflicting coverages. It actually causes more problems when the coverage is overlapped to that degree. Again, the county requires us to identify those structures. Occasionally, you can find one that is in.
So that's control. What you mean. It's going to be redundancy there. And
it's too far away to also cover the gap. Yeah.
For the gap.
Yeah.
Okay. That answers that question.
And again, if I could have Mr. Grievous stand up and come up here, and just since he's the one with the RF and the PE, is what I stated accurate with regard to the issue?
Yes.
Short and sweet.
Mr. Riggers, you have any other?
You say 12 panel style antennas arranged in three clusters, or okay?
Yeah.
Yes. So there's it looks like a triangle on top of the tower, and there are the three sectors, and then there would be four antennas on each sector.
Okay. Okay.
Is it full? Any offer to anybody else?
There's nobody else who's ready to come on it, but it's being built so that it can accommodate at least two other users if folks wanted to come in and do that.
The other question, too, where you're at, how far are you off from the road?
We are, if you look at this arrow, I know the numbers are, I've had a corneal transplant and I can't read the numbers on what you have, but that's as big as I could print it out from my computer. The structure that is across Hummingbird Road is just short of 1,100 feet away from the tower, so you're roughly 900 to 1,000 feet from the road.
So you got a road going back to it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's an existing driveway that extends almost all the way. You can kind of see in the picture where the road kind of veers across the farm, and you see the light tower. We're extending it back on just a standard gravel to where it is, and then the fire marshal's requiring there to be a little turnaround back at the tower itself, so we'll be putting that in there as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So your statement is that you have no variances before this board, right? All you have is a special use.
Meeting the standard of demonstrating to this board that the use is not substantially adversely impact surrounding properties. And as you may have heard me in Pinewater last year, but in others, I tend to say that there's really no adverse impact from these. They don't make any noise. They don't emit any smells. They just sit there. They don't generate traffic. In this one, I think it's even more of a case because, again, we're 1,000, 1,100 feet from any property, and we have a nice property where you can tuck it against the trees.
Right. No other questions, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mills?
You said that you're building it and like you have to accommodate two other companies or what have you. What's the likelihood of that happening? And further, are there other towers in close proximity that you've tried to locate on?
The structure that we ruled out was the only structure that was within that 2 mile radius. That one was 1.7 miles away over by where the Ellendale was.
Okay.
The report that we submitted highlights the three towers or three structures that were already on that kind of form that the boundary around here of the other sites. Again, it's cheaper for us to co-locate if we can co-locate. And subsequent carriers coming in, the same thing would hold true for them. If it's cheaper for them to locate on us. Or
is that a standard practice?
To co-locate?
Once a tower's built?
Yes, okay. You can look at different examples. Sometimes you'll see just one because that's, I think, a net effective. Right now, Verizon's probably the most active. I mean, just based on how many times you've enjoyed my company over the last year and probably for the next 18 months, Verizon's been pretty active in that regard. I think you've seen AT&T.
They were active for a while.
Yeah, and T-Mobile was active at one period of time. Verizon seems to be the one that's the most active right now, but if we can co-locate on structures, we will, and there's, in fact, another site that we have that we're doing exactly that, looking to co-locate because of the proximity to where it is in relationship to the ring. It's just sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
So the bottom line is that it's a lot cheaper for you to co-locate than to erect a tower and then rent those.
Because you're kind of going to the question of Mr. Mills, you don't know when the next person's going to come along, whether they're going to fill that rental stream. I mean, there's a lot of these locations that, and you drive up and down Route 1 or you drive down 113, you'll see these structures, and you can tell how many antennas are on it. Because
right.
You see, they're all located at different heights because they all have different frequency ranges.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you'll see just one, and then there'll be others. All of a sudden you'll see four or five because that tends to be an area where everybody wants to be. Verizon's building out its network and seeing the commercials, and as far as the coverage is concerned, that's what Verizon's been actively engaging in, and they seem to be the most active right now.
I have one other question. You said the 5 foot tower, okay.
Lightning rod.
Lightning rod?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that, and most of the people that come in here don't say, I have a lightning rod up there. Are we in an area where
it's
there's
a standard
lightning strikes or what?
It's a standard construction. Every one of these that
I've never heard it mentioned, though. I just see it on the plans.
It's quirky the way I do it. I just always kind of say it. It's 120 feet plus a 5 foot lightning rod.
Okay.
Somehow it sounds a little less intrusive than 125 feet.
I thought maybe we were.
Because that lightning rod's only a couple inches in diameter, so.
I thought we were in a highly strike zone in there or something.
No more so than anywhere else. And all I know is my son, who's a meteorology major at Penn State, was all excited because he texted me because one of those storm chasing guys who do all the videos, he's in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania right now because that's where they're expecting the storm. So
oh, yeah.
My budding young meteorologist is probably out there looking for lightning rods now that he can camp out next to with his GoPro.
Sounds like an interesting job.
Hey, now he only has to be right about 50% of the time, so I'll get my money's worth for college.
Thank you.
Yes.
No other questions, Mr.
Wait, are there any further questions?
Oh, I have one, just one. Do you have a doctor on your staff?
A doctor?
Yes.
No?
Okay.
My law firm staff?
I don't know about the rest of the members, but if I had to get your response to the special use exception and read what is written, it looks like a doctor wrote it because I can't understand a darn thing.
That's because those forms are so small. My handwriting is not that good. You're lawyers and doctors.
I swore I said.
Guilty as charged.
Don't mind.
But I would say, please ask the applicant who wrote it.
I will take the full brunt of that. I'll try to use a finer tip pen next time.
You can also access the application online.
See, I learned something.
There you go.
I learned something new every time I come
here.
Yeah.
Just recently. So.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought. I thought I'd looked for it before because I had Shane have to fax it to me the last time I had to do one.
I thought the rest of the members would ask that question.
Yeah.
They just look at the typewritten cover letter and all the reports.
Okay, and Mr. Sharp, do you have a question?
I guess just one. Mr. Tracy, you made a few statements. Do you have one of your witnesses that can just affirm some of your more recent statements?
Yeah, Mr. Farrell, if you could come up there because they were more engineering related. And actually, Mr. Grevis, I'll do it this way. Mr. Farrell, to the extent that I was testifying with regard to what's on the site plan and the various attributes of that, was everything I said true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was.
Mr. Grevis, to the extent that I made any representations with regard to radio frequency engineering aspects of this application, is everything I said true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing no further questions. Persons here that are in favor of this application. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? All right, sir, you need to come up and be sworn in first, please.
I believe there was a
two. There's another. You need to, sir, would you like to come up too? Those, and be sworn in, please.
My wife is going to join me as well.
I'm sorry?
My wife is coming as well.
Okay.
We're trying to keep the young ones at bay and as calm as long as we could, so.
Okay.
Good evening. Can you state your name?
My name is Ralph Brumley, and I live in Milton, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Ryan Duca, 20879 Allendale, Hummingbird Road, Allendale, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I wait for your wife, sir? Or?
Plus she was coming in, but we can leave her with the kids.
Okay.
I'm just asking this question for future reference. If that's agricultural land, does he need a commercial registration for the property? In other words, you can put a tower like that on agricultural land.
It's an application for a cell communication tower, and you can apply for an agricultural property.
Uh-huh, land. No problem. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Most of my questions as far as how tall it was and all that have been answered. What I didn't feel was addressed was the compensation in property value for the houses around us. It seems a little biased that one party prospers while most of the other surrounding properties potentially lose 15 to 20% property value.
Okay. The question before the board is will the use substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties? So just as it's the onus is on them to prove that it will not, the onus would be on any opposition to prove that it would.
Okay.
It's not a question because we can't, we don't know. We're, that's why we're having the hearing.
Sure, and I didn't know either. I've never done this before myself, right. So I plead ignorance in that case. I felt like that's what I was here to figure out is how that affects the community.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that this property was posted? Is that what brought your concern to
us? Yes, and we received a letter in the mail.
Okay, and you didn't pursue anything other than coming to the board tonight?
I looked online at what it does to property value, and that's where I came up with the 15 to 20% number from a few different articles that we had read. So.
Where did you get the article from? From Sussex County?
No, just the articles on the internet.
On the internet?
Yes.
And that's what it says, it affected that much?
Did you bring copies of the articles for us to?
I did not. Okay. Now I know that I should have. So, yeah.
And your question is what? Now, if we put it up, it'll affect your property by 15 or 20%, or is it going to, if it's put up, it'll affect your property, you're saying? How far away are you?
Well, if it's 1,100 feet off the road, which I believe is what was stated,
yes, right?
So we're, say, give or take 500 feet plus that, so 1,600, 1,700 feet is an approximation.
Where are you going there?
Sure. I believe this is where the tower's going in the corner of this field. Is that correct?
Sure.
Oh, okay, right here. So my house is actually directly across from here. There's one more residence here, and there's two, and there's three on this side of the room, and I'm right there.
So. You're a good 1,600 feet away from the proposed site.
I believe that says
1,082,
is that right?
Yeah, so actually it's closer than 1,600 feet. It's probably more like
1,083. Less than 1,100 feet.
And the numbers that I've read were somewhat based on visibility, how visible the tower was. And like I said, that's some of the information was answered as to how tall it was. And lights were another concern. We really don't want to stand at our kitchen window and see a blinking light. And
there's look, it appears from this aerial view that there's quite a few trees. In fact,
Yeah.
The majority of that distance is mostly trees.
Wooded, correct.
And full-grown trees, is that correct?
Yes, mature.
Okay,
yes.
Mature forest. So yeah. Typically 60 to 80 feet are the trees?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so one would think, and I'm not certainly not...
It should be out of sight.
Right, that's what I'm thinking, yes. That angle and yeah. distance.
And I didn't know that before seeing the diagram, so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you didn't bring any of those articles with you. We have no evidence to determine if it would substantially
affect. Will we have another chance to
this
do that?
This is it. This is the hearing, yes.
Okay.
But, and so, given that we don't have, evidence for that, then.
Sure.
Yep. Are you still in opposition of it based on what Mr. Mills has said to you?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I don't want to see it.
Okay,
sir. You know, the purpose of the light is really for the
aviation.
Crop duster.
Yeah, for the aviation. Sure. Yeah, understood.
For crop duster, that's why we really want to see that.
Yeah. it makes sense. So
I think, like Mr. Mills said, I don't think you really notice it. That much.
There's quite a few trees around there. Yeah, all the trees and things around you, but sir, not far away, 1,082.
Cool. All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Is there any other? Hearing no other. Again, chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, the applicant suggested that the request would not have a substantially affect adversely to the uses of neighboring adjacent properties. And we did not hear testimony to the contrary, although we did hear concerns about that. I would make a motion we approve case number 11,552.
Mr. Mills, also, does it meet the requirements of section 115.194.2 regarding cell towers?
Right.
The need, co-location, fencing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did hear testimony to that.
That'd be from A to J, beyond that.
Yes, I asked him if they would meet all the, I think you'll find on the record, I asked him if they would meet all the requirements of 115.194.2. I didn't specifically say that, but he knew what I was.
If it didn't, they would have to apply for a variance.
Right, he didn't have to apply for a variance.
Which they didn't apply for.
Do I have a second to Mr. Mills' motion?
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickard that we approve case number 11,552. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickard?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Mr. Mills?
Aye, for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Calloway, for the previous reasons have been stated. So by a vote of 4-0, case number 11,552 is approved.